The Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Layer.
Hi, I'm Emily Memis, and this is the Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Layer. Andy and I were both, I'm going to say lucky enough, fortunate enough to be at, it was good, to be at the Storm vs Stars pre-season match over at the University of Gloucestershire this weekend. And I think we did all right.
I think we did all right as well. So that was good to see. Right, thanks for listening.
And that's it, yeah. No, I think it was really good. The best part for me as a bit of a, you know, a stereotypical coach in inverted commas is that there's still loads of stuff to work on, and we were still then able to come away with some good results against a really classy team. So I think for me, it'll be good to see what Mick's got planned for tonight, that we can deliver and really start focusing, because obviously we've got Thunder away next week as our last pre-season. And then really, we're on final countdown.
Yeah, it was a game that was in five parts, and everybody got game time.
Yeah, not that, and to be perfectly honest, we didn't go with the intention of let's make sure everyone gets on court. We've kind of gone past that now. The point now is that we need to see what people are going to be able to do, you know, who can start, who can impact, what combinations really are working against a team like Stars, who are obviously really, really different to us and who'll be different again to Thunder, and giving people opportunities to fix problems both for themselves and for others. So yeah, I think the five fifths, five quarters, five parts works. It would just be good to start running out for 60 minutes and do 15 minute blocks, because hopefully these girls have got an extra 3 minutes left in their legs.
Is having the five sections in pre-seasons easy as a coach? Is it? It makes that difference for a player, I presume.
Yeah, I think the short breaks made it tricky for the girls, and it makes it hard for the coach in terms of delivering as much information as you might want to. In saying that, I mean, actually, Danny Titmus from Pulse, when I were having a conversation last week about over talking in the breaks and when we should give information and when we shouldn't give information. So maybe the 3 minutes is a good thing, but. Yeah, I think it's tough for the girls because it's more quick fire, but actually it's easing them into what will be another 3 minutes on top, in terms of making sure they've got the capacity and the endurance to be able to see a full quarter through in Super League.
Lorraine and Ellie were back and they got on court. That was good.
I've got the biggest smile on my face. Can't see it, but I have. I mean, Ellie Kelk was really, I mean, I don't think she'd mind me saying, she was really disappointed to not be signed off to play just before Christmas against Knights. And then her programme back to court meant that she was only sort of cleared for this game, not WASS. So she has been chomping at the bit and wasn't, I mean, you were there. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally love, I mean, I'm a bit of a stickler for a left-handed shooter. She is such a classy goal attack. She's really different to Soph Hankin and different to Yaz in that she can get through gaps, and she's so limmy, and you would never ever have put that quarter down to her first sort of Super League standard netball post ACL. She just looked like she was born to play netball on that court.
I tell you what, you weren't wrong about Sophie.
Oh, she's fun, isn't she?
Shooting from outside the circle, it was just dark.
Yeah. And it's all, I mean, Sophie's all heart. She's one of the, I mean, she works incredibly hard, but she just loves netball. She's like a Labrador. Like, she just wants to play. She just wants to play. She just wants to prove herself. She just wants to go out and play netball. But also, if that meant that she's not the right person to be on court, she is the loudest person on the bench.
Yeah.
So she didn't start against Stars, and she sort of crept up and sat next to me on the bench. And I was like, oh God, I've got no ear defenders. But actually, you love it. Because everything she said, I mean, she's a fantastic coach. I mean, that's what she sort of does during the day. And you can hear it. But that translates really well into her netball as well. But she can fix problems and she can see it in her, and that's so unique. And it's when you've got someone like that, you need to look after him. So I'm just so excited for her season this year.
We heard from Leah on the last podcast. Has she been building to that kind of performance? She literally didn't stop moving.
No, I would say she has been building to it. I think when you come over from Oz, and obviously she's been in that full-time training environment with the Firebirds. And I mean, having been there that way myself, like it's a really different training environment. We train on court, netball-wise, twice a week. And then girls might do extra sessions with the club, or might do extra sessions with Mick, or might do some court work. That's a huge difference for her. So I think she does a lot of her own back. and she is a real stickler for performance. Like, she wants to be the best. She's forever asking questions and wants to succeed, and that is really translating now. I mean, that first quarter against Stars, I think they had a bit of a shock because no one knows her either.
Yeah.
So for us, it's a bit like, especially first round, I think she's going to really raise some eyebrows because she can find ball and she can look after it. And I would say she's just as lethal at goal defence as she is goalkeeper. And that's unusual, to be able to run both of them as successfully. She's our little Aussie secret weapon at the moment.
Until the opening round, yeah. And
exactly.
People like Karen, nice to see that she was in there as well. And so, I mean, some of the balls from Yaz through to her as well, it's shaping up really nicely.
Yeah, the connections are coming, definitely. And I think we've done a lot of work. Like, we want to be known, and the girls know that we want to be known as a team that has impeccable basics and doesn't waste ball and can feed those pinpoint passes. And when you've got a target like Karen, who doesn't just want that big overhead as a tall shooter, she can receive any of those bullets that are coming from Yaz, coming from Mick, coming from Emily. So she's being serviced really, really well by that midcourt at the moment, and the midcourt having to work hard for it. And we've done a lot on their ball placement and their ball delivery and where they're receiving it, where they're sending it from. All the stuff we would talk to our pathway athletes about, we're still reaffirming with the Super League, but it's all paying off. And those, I mean, some of those balls, again, you could make a compilation of feeds to Karen that would make some really nice netball viewing.
I think the travelling away fans went home happy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're really lucky. I think because, I mean, I feel like I touched on this a lot, but we have such a nice franchise in that people are invested in what we do, past, present and future. So we generally always travel with people. Obviously, you've got Team Austin, who travel en masse everywhere they go. I mean, actually, a lot of family was there this weekend.
It looked like it, yeah.
Exactly. I was born and bred in Cheltenham, so my family were all there. You know, M. Golvin's family always travel. Yaz's family are that way-ish. So, yeah, it's lovely. And it is. And I think you can really feel it, even if it's not your home ground, you can feel that support. And what I would say, what's changed with netball, I mean, more so in the last sort of 10 years as it's evolving, is crowds just appreciate good netball. So even if you're wearing Stars colours or Storm colours and the opposition does something brilliant, the good thing about netball is everyone generally is like, ooh, nice one, I'll clap that. And, you know, you get that. And I will say that University of Gloucester Arena was really, really nice. Having support 360 all the way around and having people behind you, that the atmosphere was brilliant.
You mentioned them. We've mentioned them plenty of times on this. Let's find out more about those early days.
I started playing in primary school. And then my secondary school had some really good PE teachers that were specific for netball. And so that was really helpful. We went to nationals every single year. So I had a really good school set up. And yeah, they sort of pushed me to go to Termford, which has then really helped progress my netball. So yeah, really appreciative of my school teachers for that.
And playing for Termford, that speaks for itself really. But how important have they been to you so far to where you are today?
Yeah, Termford are really important. I think I sort of joined them when I was about 15, which is normally a bit later than most people. Most people go when they're sort of younger. But sort of since that age, that's when my netball's really progressed. So I think, you know, clearly they've had a really important impact. Head coach at the minute is Danny Titmus of our Prem 1 squad. I've known her for a really long time, so she's really supportive. And yeah, I really like how the way that she coaches and get to learn a lot from her.
We've been in touch with a Turnford spokesman who said, easily the quickest player on court and one of the hardest workers. So
that's really nice to hear. Yeah, as I said, Turnford are really important to me. So hearing that kind of feedback is really nice.
I'll tell you who said that after we finish the interview, all
right? Okay.
So how were you supported to trial for Storm's MPL?
I think I was around 14, 15. I went along to a regional summer camp and Emma Blackmore was coaching there, and she was head coach of Storm at the time, of the Storm under 19 setup. And yeah, she invited me along to trial, and then I've been with Storm ever since.
But it maybe wasn't a case of you following Storm at the time, because didn't you also follow Mavs?
Mavericks was my sort of region. So any time that tickets were available for schools or for clubs or for region, it would always sort of be pushed to go and watch Mavericks. But I did really like a lot of the players over at Storm, particularly Tamsin Greenway, Pamela Cookie, pretty much all of them, to be honest. And so, yeah, when Emma invited me along to trials, that was just incredible for me because, yeah, Storm was who I was really aspiring to be, and the opportunity to play alongside that kind of player was incredible.
You made your debut then against a lot of those players at Wasps, wasn't it? So people like Sophia and Hannah and Amy.
Yeah, that felt really special. My first year or two training alongside Super League when I was still in the under-19 setup was with all of those players there. So, yeah, it just felt really nice that the first time that I actually stepped onto a Super League court was surrounded by players that I actually know quite well and I've trained alongside. Tamsin was on the court, had a lovely chat with her afterwards. So, yeah, making my debut against Wasps did feel special.
How was that step up from NPL to Super League? Is there a noticeable change?
Yeah, I think there is a noticeable step up, even in terms of sort of the pace of the game, and it can be a bit rougher. You have to be a bit, you know, you have to stand your ground a bit more. I think it's helped having an under-21 team. I think that jump from under-19s to Super League is quite big, but actually having the under-21 set up for the last couple of years helped me a lot to sort of prepare, because you're starting to play alongside sort of younger people that are playing in the Super League that are also playing across under-21s, playing Prem 1 and Prem 2 is really helpful because, again, there's similar players that are playing across both leagues. So I think that's helped to prepare me a lot and minimise that step a bit, especially having the support of particularly the Super League team this year, Katie Holland, Mickey Austin. That's a really supportive setup. So the step up doesn't feel as big as I think I first thought it would be.
How's the balance between the studying and the training and Super League as well?
Yeah, well, I'm studying at the University of Surrey. So it's obviously everything's nice and close together, so I don't have to do much travelling, which is amazing. And the uni of it, really supportive. But it's just, you know, managing my own time and having, we've got a really good S&C coach, Tom, who helps me to manage all the things that I'm doing, and Mickey as well. I can always just go and chat to her about sorting my time out, so that's really helpful.
Looking at the new side, it seems like you're a side that just almost has clicked instantly. Would that be true?
Yeah, I think that is true. The vibe around the team this year is really, really nice. Really supportive atmosphere. Again, because new players have sort of come in again, that sort of mixes it up a little bit. But actually, it's all fitted in really nicely. I think I feel really comfortable this season with all of the players. And, you know, we can have a laugh together, but also crack on and work hard in training, which I think is really important.
I think we might have mentioned it once or twice about what's it like actually having somebody like Em as part of the team.
Oh, she's just Emily's fantastic, and I have been really, really fortunate to have her as part of my under-21s when I had the under-21s a couple of years ago, and obviously with Super League as well. From a coaching perspective, she keeps you on your toes. Emily loves to ask a question, but a lot of that comes down to the fact that she's a perfectionist, and she has such high expectations for herself and everyone around her that she draws the best out of everyone, and she will only ever give you 100%. And that is surprisingly rare. She's just a great example setter for those about, and obviously an incredible tactician, and just technically absolutely solid. But that's all down to her hard work and the environments that she's been surrounded with for such a long time.
You've obviously seen her maybe a bit more than fans, but she's just got that wonderful match sense, and the awareness that surrounds her gameplay as well, that's difficult to teach. I don't care what anyone says.
No, it is. And I think that's the difference. Like, you talk about X factor. Like, she's got the X factor. She's got the ability to turn a game on its head. I mean, she gets so many insteps as an attacker, and she's able to have... She's just got a really finessed sort of touch on the ball. But I will say, like, whilst a lot of it is... natural and it is that sort of integral part of her netball, she is so coachable, and I think that's why she's such a delight to have around, is that she will listen to what you've got to say. She's the one that wants to do extra video to be able to dissect something. She's the one that you can ask her to try something a little bit different, and she'll implement it and then actually put it out on court. So yeah, she really is an X factor player, and someone that I would have in any team that I coach. She's fantastic.
Mickey, you're adopting this player for your bib style, which a lot of the squad are buying into.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone just wants to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be gifted anything. Like, no one's there for the sake of it. there's no one that skipped out of skip fitness testing. There's no one that thinks they're bigger than the team. And I mean, listening to Em, like, she'll describe a little bit on the culture that Mickey's trying to create.
One of her big things is working hard and working together, and then all of the other things will come along with that. And I feel like last year we all really got on board with that, and I love being around that kind of environment, and all the other girls were amazing as well.
In any elite sport, that hard work can be the 1% difference that that makes it. Is that something that you buy into completely?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like a few of our games last year, you could see we just wanted every ball and we were going for it. And like you say, that really did make a difference.
Last season was Mickey's first as coach, as you said. There was lots of progress in so many ways. Do you feel that the results reflected the hard work that the team put in? Do you think the team got its rewards in the table?
Yeah, I think we really showed that we could contend against some of the top four teams, and our performances reflected that. However, in other games, we didn't come away with the win, and I don't feel like our performance was good enough. We weren't consistent enough. And so that's something I really think we're going to look at for the coming season. Obviously, Mickey coming in being new as well, we've had quite a few changes within the Storm setup in the last few years. So hopefully now we can really start to cement combinations, have some new exciting players coming in, and yeah, really build on last year.
Thanks for the continued support as we continue to build up to the 2020 season. Please send us a tweet at SurreyStorm10 if there's someone that you'd like to hear from as part of the podcast.
And just before we go, a bit of basketball news from the Scorchers. London City Royals fans, if you're a season ticket holder, you're invited to watch the Scorchers games at Surrey Sports Park for the remainder of the season free of charge. You can find out more online at Surrey Scorchers on Twitter.
The Surrey Storm Podcast with Player Layer.